You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, let's head to Cameroon.
Indeed. So Cameroon, they have a bit of a split between French-speaking Cameroonians and English-speaking Cameroonians. English-speaking Cameroonians are...
For uncultured people like me, where is Cameroon?
It's in Africa. It is between Nigeria and Central African Republic and Congo. And Chad. It is split between English speakers, French speakers. English speakers are a minority, been long persecuted. There's a huge backstory into it, which I'm going to go into. But there's been a violence that's been erupting, and people have been killed in the street, and people have been kidnapped, and the government is taking a lot of heat for it. So let's explore that issue. A decades-long conflict in Cameroon has erupted once again as the leader of Cameroon's English-speaking minority separatist group was handed a 15-year jail sentence in a devastating blow for peace in the region. Radio journalist Mancho BBC Bibixi was sentenced to 15 years in jail for acts of terrorism, hostility against the homeland, secession, revolution, and insurrection. He was sentenced by a military court in the French-speaking capital of Yaoundé. He was one of six activists sentenced, with 10 to 15-year sentences varying across all six. All were ordered to pay fines of roughly $670,000 New Zealand dollars each. The sentences follow severe clashes where 22 people were killed by government forces for opposing government oppression and fighting for greater autonomy. The violence has escalated in recent months after English speakers declared an unrecognised state called Ambazonia, and a statement by the US government has accused the Cameroonian government of carrying out targeted killings against their own people. The conflict has been building and building since November 2016, with armed skirmishes and targeted kidnappings being carried out in the region on an almost daily basis. For reference as to how much influence the imprisoned radio journalist Bibixi held, here is a broadcast from 2016 initiating the first call to arms against the ruling CPDM party in the English-speaking city of Bamenda.
I wish to congratulate you all over the world for standing firm against our colonial master, La République du Cameroun. When we started the Coffin Revolution on November 21st, we didn't expect it to spread so fast. In just a week, all British and Cameroonian embassies worldwide were under attack. Our number one enemy remained to be some southern Cameroonians who have decided to eat with the enemy and make public speeches to destroy our struggle. They are more dangerous than the enemy and must be dealt with. Any southern Cameroonian who has nothing good to say should just stay quiet. We are watching and sharing every word from every lip. We thank those southern Cameroonians who have refused to be deceived by the CPDM. We thank especially Senator Mbella Moki of Boya and many others who refused a CPDM call to march. We are waiting for the CPDM in Bamenda, and I promise them it's going to be a bloodbath. No weapons can stop us.
This speech was followed by entire villages being burned, civilians being mutilated, and armed conflict in the streets of southern Cameroonian cities, according to the United Nations Human Rights Council. So what exactly is the conflict as a whole, and why is it kicking off now? Modern Cameroon, like much of Africa, was colonized by the Europeans, and Cameroon specifically went to the Germans during the scramble for Africa. But after the Germans lost World War I, they were forced to relinquish all overseas possessions as part of the Treaty of Versailles. France got Togo, New Zealand got Samoa, Australia got German New Guinea, South Africa got Southwest Africa, but Cameroon was different. Both British and French troops made a claim, and the League of Nations divided the territory between French and British mandates. This arrangement remained until 1960, when French Cameroon declared independence, and Nigeria was scheduled for independence not long after. But for British Cameroon, a referendum was put forward to each part of the colony. The question was to join Nigeria or French-speaking Cameroon. The Muslim-majority northern British Cameroon joined Nigeria's northern Muslim provinces, but southern Cameroon voted to stay with French Cameroon on the condition that they would retain political autonomy from French Cameroon. This was a compromise organised by the British as a way to avoid the violent effects of partition seen in Pakistan and India 13 years before. The British saw this risk as a very real threat, considering French and British Cameroonians were culturally and ethnically very similar. But the English-speaking Cameroonians were betrayed not long after, and instead of sticking to the Fall-Ban Agreement that mandated a federal republic similar to South Africa, Australia or America, with two levels of government, the ruling party instead made a unitary state in 1972. with all agreements for English-speaking Cameroonian autonomy being erased. Since this betrayal, the problem has been simmering under the surface. Anglophone Cameroonians are a minority discriminated against by language. They're being shut out of jobs, education, and being unfairly treated in the legal system as proceedings are conducted entirely in French. Since 2016, the violence has spiraled out of control, and authoritarian President Paul Biya has shown he has no qualms about committing extrajudicial killings against protesters. Here is President Biya's declaration of war against the secessionists last year.
In the face of such repeated aggression, I would like to assure Cameroonians that measures have been taken to eliminate these criminals and bring back peace throughout the national territory.
Since his statement last year, President Biya has delivered on his promise to eradicate the criminals. Hundreds have fled the country and 7 villages so far have been burned to the ground. So far, roughly 40 people have been killed in these protests since they began, and the international community is concerned that Biya's crackdown could lead to a full-scale guerrilla war or a genocide. Because of this risk, the international community has taken notice. The UN is yet to decide if peacekeepers will be deployed to the region, and the Secretary General has already met with President Biya. French President Emmanuel Macron has been notably cold to Biya too and has publicly condemned the violence, a significant move considering France has major economic interests in the former colony, particularly in their oil industry. Equally, the British Parliament is currently deciding on whether a peacekeeping mission in a similar vein to the one in Sierra Leone 20 years ago should be deployed, and even Donald Trump weighed in on the issue.
When decent people and nations become bystanders to history, the forces of destruction only gather power and strength. This is what causes the regime to restrict internet access, tear down satellite dishes, shoot unarmed student protesters, and imprison political reformers. Oppressive regimes cannot endure forever.
Trump made the speech at the UN whilst a very unimpressed President Biya was present in the room. He made indirect reference to the extrajudicial killings in regional cities as well as Biya's regional internet outage for English-speaking Cameroon in an attempt to stifle communication between the separatists and the general public. Cameroon is at a crossroads. Amidst the killings, kidnapping, burning and imprisonment, Biya will need to make a tough choice. He has tried to make certain compromises with incremental steps towards government decentralization, but there are fears that this is too little too late. And with the separatist leader Bibixi imprisoned, the separatist rebels are emboldened and ready for blood. Biya must also think about his age. He's 85 and has ruled the country with an iron fist since 1982, and an election could see his image suffer. Equally, across the border in Nigeria, the Igbo people are reigniting the fight for their own state of Biafra, and if this happens, there is the potential for a process of unstable balkanization across the region. The Cameroon situation started with simple requests for autonomy and the official use of English in local institutions. But this could spiral into a conflict which rocks Central Africa, and unless a solution is found, the bloodshed could last for decades.
To understand the distinction,
Rewire. You're back on the Tuesday Wire. It's just gone 12:30. Connor, interesting piece there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there's been actually a development on that only today. 13 more people were killed in villages around southern Cameroon, one of which was featured on a piece by Al Jazeera, and it's blurred out because... you don't want to see that stuff. And also, 2 headmasters were kidnapped in the southern Cameroonian capital of Buea just before exam periods. About 300 kids who can't take their exams and have their education in jeopardy because the separatist rebels kidnapped these people. When I mentioned balkanization as well, the risk is essentially that these countries are created under colonial, colonial borders drawn. They don't necessarily match the ethnic groups there. There's a risk that the separatist movements like this will cause the countries to break up into smaller states like they did in Serbia and Croatia and all that, and more violence as a result, ethno-religious, bilingual violence. Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.